Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
David Pollison
and Julie Lowe.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
You are welcome, Drew.
And thanks to our listeners for listening. This week, we're going to talk about guilt and shame because it is our conference topic this year. And the question we have is simple. It goes like this. What is the difference between guilt and shame?
Yeah, it's a great question. And whatever Julie and I can say in a few minutes is not going to do justice. But I trust that will be crystal clear by the end of our conference together. Here's my thumbnail. Guilt is an awareness of failure against a standard. So if I know that I should treat people with kindness and I continually lose my temper and I have a conscience, I will feel guilty because I should be calm and patient and I'm irritable and violent with my tongue. That would be true guilt. Or if I think that though we have four preschoolers in our home, that our house should be, photo teams from House Beautiful should be able to show up at any moment, and the house looks like an EPA disaster site, I feel guilt against a standard of what I think my house should look like. Now, in that case, it's a false standard. The experience of guilt is distorted. So guilt is a sense of failure against a standard. That's why guilt is easier to get a handle on, because you can name the standard. I think of shame as a sense of failure before the eyes of someone else. It's a sense of failure before who's looking at me. And that makes it a lot more shifty, because I can have a sense of shame, and the one who's looking at me is myself. You know, I think I ought to be a certain kind of person. I'm not that. I feel ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed in my own eyes. Or I can be ashamed in the eyes of other people because maybe I've done something that they criticize, or I'm afraid that they think ill of me. And I walk with my head hanging down, ashamed before their eyes. Or I can feel a sense of shame before God's eyes, where God is the significant person. So obviously the experiences of guilt and shame are both what get called negative emotions. They're both unpleasant experiences, and they're clearly closely related. But I think of that difference between whose eyes and what standard is probably the key differentiating factor.
Yeah. So then how do you counsel understanding the differences between guilt and shame?
Well, I'd say that, particularly when you're dealing with guilt, as Dave has brought out, that you're dealing with the standards and you're helping to redefine and reinterpret what standards really matter and whose standards are you trying to uphold and living by. And I don't know, Dave, if you agree with this, but lots of times I've found our standards are much, higher is the right word, but we put standards on ourselves or on life or on our family or our children that God doesn't place on us.
Yeah.
And the standards are just worlds apart.
Yeah.
What we value versus what God truly values.
And it's interesting because they're quote, higher in one sense, but they're hard and they're harder because, like, if the standard is like, well, you got to be perfect and get straight A's.
Right.
God's standard is, we're called to love him, heart, soul, mind, and might, and our neighbor is ourself. God's standard, in one sense, is way harder, and yet it's also, it's what a human being is meant to be.
Right.
We're not all meant to get straight A's. We are meant and made to love with all our heart. And by the grace of God, we can, some of us may get straight D's and yet still be able to love people by the power of God's spirit.
Why did nobody tell me that in high school?
Yeah, they don't. They set faulty standards.
Well, yeah, you have guilt that comes from performance-oriented standards, and then it would appear you have guilt at times that are internal standards, character, sinlessness, perfection in who we are. And again, both point to a a life lived void of God, or yeah. a standard void of God.
Like, I think common in the Christian community is the sense that, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years and I should not have to struggle anymore.
Right.
I should, right. in other words, not need the Lord.
Right. Which, I shouldn't need his help anymore.
I shouldn't need his help anymore.
Yeah.
And sanctification is such an interesting critter, because we should get better. We should get more self-controlled, more loving, more joyful, more consistent. But coming with that growth is also usually a deeper awareness of how far we fall short.
And dependency.
So we never don't need the Lord.
Right.
We usually have a deeper sense of need as we grow as a Christian.
Right. Real sanctification should further dependence on Christ, not independence
yeah,
from Him.
Of Him. As though, well, I yeah. got over my temper, so I don't really need the Lord's mercy and aid anymore.
Right.
Well, you know, one comment I'd make on that is I would, and this will be just a rough rule of thumb, but where the issue is shame more than guilt, like you'll see this often in ministry where, like a situation that I was in recently where 11-year-old girl, no eye contact, real shy, hardly can, her voice is really soft. And then as the counseling went on over 40, 45 minutes, she just started to warm up. She started to lighten up. She started to get talkative. She started to make eye contact. And at the end of it, there was a little conversation about it. And what she said was that she'd been afraid that the counselor was going to judge her and be mad at her.
Mm-hmm.
And see, there was a case where it was an issue of shame. There was no particular thing they would be mad about. It was more just, she's a bad person because she's, you know, in counseling or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And I would say that there was a place where, like, as Julie was stressing with the guilt issue, there's a more teaching aspect. You're more trying to clarify for a person, help them sort out right from wrong, true guilt from false standards, mm-hmm. true standards, false standards.
Mm-hmm.
With the issue of shame, one of the things you're going to want to do is to love the person. And they have no reason to hide.
Mm.
They have no reason that you're going to just jump on their case or shame them or diss them or hate them or just say you're a jerk or something like that.
Mm.
So there's an aspect of the human love, and then there's going to be a more patient process of how do I help that 11-year-old girl move her orientation from the eyes of other people, which would include a counselor or a parent or friends at school, to the eyes of God. That's going to be a little bit, it's going to be a different, in a way, a different kind of process than what's a little more didactic, helping to clarify standards.
Yeah.
I also think from a helper standpoint that I have a very unique privilege of incarnating how Christ sees them by my response to them as well, that I model acceptance, I model love, I model need not to be afraid of me.
A fundamentally constructive,
right.
merciful intent.
Right. That gives me an open door into their life to start also addressing some of the things they fear and are ruling them. But our advantage is being able to incarnate a God that loves them and embraces them while calling them to change.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Drew.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.